are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah. What are you gonna do? You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it was not, and you had to get it done, I know you did. But if you didn't have to, I know you stayed indoors, you stayed safe. But if you went outside, I know you put a mask on. I know you washed your hands and you kept that social distancing. Got to be safe. It's out there. It ain't going nowhere. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, and any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. And then the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Yeah, Brother Kwaku's back in the ATL, been out there running around in that Camaro. Yeah, he was in Bruce City, saw Dr. Rogers. Fantastic. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, of course, this program from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday evenings at 6 p.m., Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philly. Followed by 8 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then right after that is from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations every first and third Monday. Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, After 7 with your host, Shani B, After 7 programming. And then on Friday, if it is Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 4 to 6, Sister Talk. And then from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council, hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then every Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. This is an abbreviated program. I have an appointment, so I'm going to be on till 12. So after I get finished with the Inye Sesim, since we missed out on September 11th. Speaking of which, Wednesday, I'm going to do the September 11th program, the 9/11 program, the inside job that is. And I did see a few things like that on the internet. Most, of course, were, you know, the solemn things and we'll never forget. And some of them are like, okay, we'll never forget that, but you want us to forget our captivity. You want us to forget all the things that you've done to us, but no, we should never forget that. Like the European Jews, no, never forget the suffering that the European Jews had at the hands of other Europeans. But no, you want us to forget. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. And then Friday, my guest will be Brother Mickey Dean, who's with the National Black United Front, one of the strongest chapters in the National Black United Front out of Kansas City, Missouri. And we'll talk about a number of things with Brother Mickey Dean. He's been on the program a couple of times before. Not in a while, though. He hasn't been on in a while, so it'll be great to have him on as a guest, and we'll talk about a number of things. One of the things that they did in Kansas City, which I loved, they prepared for succession planning. They prepared young people to take over. That's what we need to do. Prepare young people to take over. We need succession planning in all our institutions. If it's right, it's right. But if it ain't right at the time and you still need to lead, then you lead. But prepare. And when it's right, step back and assist them and hope, because of your preparation, the way you prepare them, instill that kind of confidence in them, that they take it to another level. Yeah, that they go beyond what you've done for preparing our people. That's important. The Enye Sesem, the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. September 10th. Remember, this is what we were going to read this past Friday. But, of course, and I want to thank brothers and sisters who did call in. We had conversation, although we were not on the air, but we did have conversation, and that was great. So, but like I said, that program for 9/11, the inside job that it is, will be Wednesday. And then Friday, I got my guest, Brother Mickey Dean. September 10th, slaves deserve slaves for children, an African proverb. Obviously, many of us have thoroughly misread the Europeans' long-range genocidal goal for us. If this were not so, we would not have allowed ourselves to be separated from our traditions and our children from us. We should have known that Europeans know that if you can train the children of your enemy to dismiss their parents, then that people will indefinitely continue making the same self-destructive mistakes because ancestral wisdom will not be passed down. Our children's innocence and ignorance led them to see Africa and Africans and Europeans' irreconcilable realities as worlds of powerlessness, Africans, and power, the Europeans, respectfully. And they blindly seek shelter in the chaotic and numbing reality of dead things and pseudo-masochistic habits that take away the pain of
somebody gets stuck with a word. Impotence. Impotency. While leading them to defensively mocking their ancestors. What we have allowed to be done to our children would be unthinkable for a sane people. Even some claiming to be African, based upon how that African centered is still seriously compromised by European imperatives, might as well have raised their children as Negroes. At least that way, they wouldn't have to go through the pain of being broken into slaves once they recognize the contradictions between what their parents say and do and find the opportunity to escape them. Those who study Europeans know that these children will be running to a people who are not contradictory in their insanity. We have no business critiquing our children until we correct ourselves. Affirm, my children will never become slaves on my account. Affirm, my children will never become slaves on my account. September 11. What insidious animal eats away at our brains and causes us to sleep when our children are being stolen away from us? Malefi Kete Asante. What they come from and have done is not normal. It has no precedence, and its roots can only be ambiguously found in their cultural ceiling. Physically, they are the only ones who have wallowed in filth and squalor, rubbing their bodies and minds in the centuries of accumulated rotting, diseased waste. They are the only ones who copulated with animals and perform unspeakable perversions in the waste and germ-saturated, saliva-filled cavities of each other's bodies. It is only they who pride themselves in their ablutiophobia, fear of bathing. You know, ablution, you clean yourself before you go into the temple or the mosque or whatever. Ablutiophobia, fear of bathing. Mentally, they are the projectors of their spiritual, mental, and physical illness, wrongly turning our eyes against our ancestors and gratefully toward theirs. Sadly, the only ones confused on this point are those among us who can not see Urugu beyond the gilded here and now, and the images these sick creatures fabricate of their past for the rest of the world. Affirm, I clearly see Urugu beyond the gilded here and now. Affirm, I seriously, clearly see Urugu beyond the gilded here and now. September 12th. A man straddling two cultures is rarely well-seated. Albert Memmi. Some of us have been initiated into traditional African priesthoods, have divided loyalties, or completely committed to white supremacy. These confused souls either do not know or do not want to know our historical relationship between Africans and Europeans, and that the intent of Europeans for global domination of all people of color has never changed. Apparently, money, smiles, lust, and the misbelief that their spiritual training has elevated them above this world and therefore its racial politics guide the dreams of this collection of African priests who carry no loyalty to African people. Obviously, many of us, spiritual training and elevation does little to enlighten us above how systematically self-hatred has been assimilated into our subconscious. The defeat and removal of self-destructive racist beliefs from our minds requires an awareness of their presence and effect, as well as a strong desire to come out from under their power. Priests are people too. They too can be blind to truth about themselves and others. Of course, there are those who are consciously committed to the destruction of African people at European hands. These are beyond our assistance. Those who wittingly desire their own people's death cannot be helped. They do want one another righteous reality. They do not want another righteous reality. They cannot imagine a world where they are not handmaidens to European dominance. As such, they should remain beyond our concern. Our focus should be on the aspirants to the priesthood who equally aspire to be African. Ashe. Our focus should be on the aspirants of the priesthood who equally aspire to be African. Affirm, my loyalty is undivided. Affirm, my loyalty is undivided. If we are to survive, we must survive. We have got to have sincere, committed people who will put the struggle above everything else and who will not sell themselves or the struggle at any cost, even at the cost of death. Not that equal. Too many of our potentially beneficial revolutionaries just want to be heroes and sheroes. In their heart of hearts, their ultimate goal is to be seen and lauded, to become rich and famous, but without the usual taint of self-centeredness. Because we have been soaking in this numbing extreme individualism almost from birth, this warped need to be seen and publicly recognized as saviors retires our ability to be dedicated workers in a people's vision where victory and glory are more a national than an individual experience. Because our humanity, manhood, and womanhood have been so systematically denied for so long, it is hard to aspire to the role of humble, indefeatable warriors because nothing else than the limelight will soothe our eviscerated egos. We have forgotten that to do a hero's or she-wolf's work is enough. It should be more than enough to be seen and lauded by those we serve and who serve by our side. Affirm, I do a hero's or a shiro's work. Affirm, I do a hero's and a shiro's work. September 14th. Throw away the image of the God of the whites who have so often brought down our tears and listen to liberty which speaks in all our hearts. Duty bookman. Bookman duty. Bookman duty. Throw away the white man's God and you will be free. Ashe. Bookman duty was a Jamaican who was in Haiti. Some say he was a voodoo priest, whatever. But he was serious about the revolution in Haiti. Throw away the white man's God and you will be free. He didn't say you could be free. He didn't say you might be free. He didn't say we shall be. No, you will be free. Warriors have to learn that an intimate awareness of our true talents and source of our superhuman power is only accessible through a deep, honest, unconditional, uncompromising spiritual union with the Creator, the deities, and our ancestors. This state of being can only be reached by searching inwardly. An unconquerable African warriorhood can only be realized when we come to an intuitively known that while spirit is the essence of our lives, European religion is completely wrong for us. I repeat, European religion is completely wrong for us. Arab religion is completely wrong for us. Any other religion that is outside of us is completely wrong for us. Eurocentric institutions, religious and otherwise, completely separate the individual from spirit. They place one individual's power and self, communally regulated moral sensibilities under the government of an external, dedicated, supremacist, vested, staunchly bureaucratic, capitalistic, materialistic church. A spiritual connection for Africans only fully manifests itself when we realize that this is lesser, alienated from ourselves, each other, and the Creator, way of relating to a divinity outside of us, and it begats nothing more than a growing personal frustration. Already too long festering in the mire of this institutionalization, pacification of subject people. Only with a spiritual connection can we discover the values of the righteous rage we have legitimately inherited from our ancestors. Ashe. Affirm, I see divinity in our image. Affirm, I see divinity in our image. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. I decided to just to come on for an hour since we missed the program this past Friday. My brother Kwaku was going to have a program on. I'm not sure if he's going to still put another program on after I go off the air. If he decides to do that, cool. If he doesn't, that's cool too, you know. But I just wanted to, because we missed the program, I just want to say something to our community. And of course, to read the Enye Sesem that I believe so strongly in on these daily revolutionary affirmations that will keep you focused and grounded in knowledge and rooted in the knowledge of self and our spiritual being. And that's our spiritual beings, you know, because brothers and sisters, we are bombarded 24/7, 365. Every day that we watch television, computers, everything that comes at us, everything. That's why I keep saying that the most important thing is for us to go home. The most important thing for us is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's the most important thing. And I know that next month will be the Pan-African Federalist Convention. And it's going to be, of course, just like all things now, over the airwaves, over Zoom and so forth. And I'll get you the details of how you can register. Because if you register before October, I think it's 6th, something like that, it's $15 plus some kind of registration fee. The rest of the registration fee, but then another smaller fee, so about $18, something like that. And then if you register after that time, it's $25 plus another smaller fee, about $30, which is still, I mean, sometimes, dear brothers and sisters, I know I'm not going to, I know I'm not, and I don't really have it that way. Let's be real. As I always say, I don't have any money, and I don't. I ain't got no money. But what money I do have, I share with my family and entities and organizations that I believe are important. And the Pan-African Federalist Movement is definitely one of them, because that's what I am. I believe strongly. I'm serious. I believe strongly in independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. In fact, the motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish. Either we embrace Pan-Africanism and bring it into fruition, or we are going to perish. Either we unify or we die. I know just recently I've seen a voter die. I think LeBron had a voter die. And I know I heard that back. I think that was when Barack was running. I think P. Diddy or whatever his name is, Puffy Combs, whatever, had a voter die thing. And even then I said, bump that. Unify or die. That's the bottom line motto. Unify or die. You know? Vote or die. Well, I mean, you know, I know this is a very important election coming up. Now, I don't get into the elections. I don't get into the partisan politics that are here. I may comment on that sometimes. I may comment about Trump sometimes. I may comment about other things. I'm not an advocate. I'm not promoting it. I'm not pushing it. I'm not saying who you should vote for or who you should vote at all. But what I am saying, from a political standpoint, that we as African people must come together regardless of who's in the White House. Because even me, I mean, I got caught up in 2008. I gave Barack some money. And as I stated, if I give you some money, I'll vote for you. And I voted for him, you know. I didn't vote for him the second time, you know. And he didn't get a dime from me, you know. But when I analyzed those 8 years, it was not a benefit for African people, you know. And I said, at the beginning, if by electing Barack Hussein Obama, that our condition as African people is in a small measure, in an incremental measure, is better. But it was not. There were more mass incarceration. There were more of us. Now, you know, when you want to, if you want to point to, and I know there's some people that get, there's a piece that Rachel Maddow does on the benefit of Barack Obama and what he did, because there was all a number of people were getting on him, and you know, I look at what is being done specifically for African people, specifically. You know, and I know the health program, the affordable health care program, the affordable access, you know, was something for everybody that would benefit everybody. And, of course, the Republicans named it Obamacare, which I've never called it Obamacare. I called it for what they said it was, the Affordable Health Care Act. And, of course, they wanted to dismantle it without putting something in its place. Even recently, during this pandemic, these heartless son of a bitch. I tell you. And to me, that's why for all y'all who are going to vote, and hopefully all of you out there who are going to vote, you know, get rid of Trump. But all those other Caucasians need to go too. All those ones who stood up for him and all his lies. Everybody who has been elected, who stood up with him, those senators, those Congress individuals, when they had the impeachment hearings, and I listened to that, you know, I don't listen to them. You know, sometimes I do. Let me just be real. But most times I'll watch Nightline. I've been watching Nightline since Nightline came on with the hostage crisis back in the late 70s. Because it's a good synopsis and sometimes it's a good features. And they sometimes talk about this issues that are, like right now they're running a thing on the inequality that happens in this society. Because, see, instead of Trump talking about the violence, he doesn't want to talk about what precipitates the violence, why it happens, why are people out in the street, you see? He just want to focus in, and that's why he wants the violence to continue. This is an evil man. That's why, to me, I'm not promoting voting. But, you know, if that's what you want to do and you understand that's how you get rid of his ass, then that's what you do. And if you can get others to do it, then that's what you do. You know? Because to me, whether we vote or not, I don't see things changing for us fundamentally, monumentally. No, incrementally even. You know? We've been here a long time. And we keep hoping. We keep praying. We keep wishing that something happens for us. But unfortunately, it doesn't. And sometimes it gets worse. Sometimes we're alleviated to some degree. We feel we are. That's why I love the Enye Sesa. Because it brings, it continues to bring the vision and the clarity of our situation. And the focus that we need to have as warrior scholars, as warrior teachers, as young men and young women in warriorhood. We need that. The elders like myself, whatever position or whatever I can do, I feel what I'm doing here right now for the last 6 years, trying my best to put something on our minds to get us to think outside of the imposed boundary that Europeans have placed upon us. To think outside of those boundaries and to release the vice grip that the European has on our minds. We're at war for the minds of our people. And if you understand the tool of a vice grip, you know that once that vice grip is set, you can't pull it apart. You can't pull it apart. But there's a knob at the end of the handle. In order to turn that knob, symbolically, it is acquiring a knowledge of self. You can turn that knob the more conscious you become, the more aware you become, the more understanding of who you are as an African. And who you are in your relationship to other Africans, not just here in your city, in your hood, in your state, in your region. No, globally. Globally. I think globally. That's why I'm a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement. That's why I've been a Pan-Africanist for many, many years. That's why I embraced it. That's why I love Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, but Idi Amin Dada. Yes, Idi Amin Dada, who was so vilified. Even that movie that Forrest Whitaker did was a sham. They made him out to like he was a cannibal. No, cannibalism is European. They did that. Sometimes we just don't understand. Because we have been labeled primitive. We've been labeled backward. We taught Europeans twice. The first time they came and sat at our feet in Kemet for hundreds of years. Then they went back to Greece, and Greece got stronger. And then, of course, after the dynasties and the death of Alexander the so-called Great, his generals, the Ptolemies, took over Kemet. The interesting thing about that is they wanted to be Kemetic. They didn't want to be Greek. They didn't even go back to Greece. Hell, Alexander didn't even want to be buried in Greece. He wanted to be buried in Kemet because they understood that the culture was strong. Even through all of those invasions, and every invasion was disruptive, as the Honorable Dr. Asa Hilliard has told us, has shown us. All of them. But we taught them. We civilized them. Everything that we had that they copied and then later appropriated. I'm the father of this, the father of that. And then Rome, same with Rome. Because even Cleopatra, of course, is the descendant of the Ptolemies. And Cleopatra VII is the, because there was many Cleopatras as a title. The Cleopatra the VII is the one that is most noted. She's the one that had Julius Caesar. She played Julius Caesar and had a baby by him. Caesarian section, yeah. And then, of course, when he was killed, because he ignored the soothsayer's warning, don't go up in the Senate because they ain't feeling you, dude. Yeah, Cassius and Brutus just came out on him and did a job on him. March 15th, beware of the Ides of March, March 15th. And then, of course, she hooked up with Mark Antony. And the purpose was to maintain the culture that they had co-opted from the Kemetic people and to not to be Rome. And then, of course, Rome began to fail in Europe, went into a medieval or dark age. And the only light, because Islam was spreading from the east in Arabia all the way north, in North Africa. And, of course, when it spread into Kemet, that's why they had no respect for the culture of ancient Kemet. And even by that time, I think that the Sands had overtaken Hori Maket, what the Greeks called the Sphinx. And they took the limestone covering. There was a covering over the pyramids at Giza, the great pyramids at Giza, the pyramid of Khufu, Menkaure, Khafre, and the lesser pyramids for their wives. There was a limestone covering that the Arabs took. They took it off those. That's why you see the pyramids today, the rocks, many of the rocks, the cleanly cut stone is exposed. But there was a limestone covering. And when it was on there from ancient times, there was some serious bling. When the sun rose up and hit Hori Maket's face, because Hori Maket stands in front of him facing east. And when the sun hit his face and his body and hit those pyramids, bam! A sight to behold. And so, in that decline, as Islam spread over, there was brothers called the Moors, who were Muslim, but African. And they went up into the Iberian Peninsula of what is now Portugal and Spain. And the only information that was happening was in the western part of Asia. I know Europe is not a continent, but that lets you know how bold and how arrogant the European is. By nobody's definition is it a continent, but it's the European continent. We have seven. No, we don't have seven continents. We have six. The Europeans. And so that civilization was there for over 700 years. And the education that it gave the Europeans, the knowledge, the universities, the mathematics, so forth. But once it started, the European began to exert himself again, Charlemagne. That's why I have some misgivings about that brother calling himself that. It's foul. Charlemagne, Martel, and many others, they got together and they kicked the Moors out of Spain, and they kicked the Sephardic Jews out of Spain, and 1492 is a big year, not just for Columbus being commissioned by the Spanish, King Ferdinand and Isabella to give him the money to get the exploration, to go to India to get the spices. They didn't know nothing about this hemisphere. They were seeking a route around the Horn of Africa into India, you know. And of course, just like the winds off the coast of Africa will blow you in this direction, just like those hurricanes that form. And there's a lot of them, ain't it? Man, these climate deniers are a damn fool. This is real. This is real. There's about three hurricanes headed this way. One right now forming in the Gulf, about to smash the southern, the panhandle of Florida, all the way from there into Texas. Sally, Hurricane Sally, Mustang Sally. I'm telling you, this climate issue is because of Europeans, their selfishness, their greediness. Man, we have an open mic. You can join the conversation at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I got about 15 minutes left on the conversation. But, to me, anytime I have an opportunity to share and listen to our people about what's happening, you know, what's going on with them and in their lives, it's always a great opportunity to do so. It's necessary. It really is. I'm honored to be able to do it. So, yeah. Yeah, I tell you, when I look at this, without struggle, there is no progress. And that's Frederick Douglass's saying, because life is struggle. It's born out of struggle. We see that in all facets of life, plant life, human life, animal life. We see that the struggle of life, and it's important that we understand that and we deal with that, But one of the things that we don't understand is power. And I've seen that a lot recently, talking about power. For me, the most definitive definition of power is Dr. Wade Nobles. Dr. Wade Nobles, clinical psychologist in the Bay Area. Power, many people believe that power is money and influence, power. You got a lot of money, influence, you got power. Well, the reality is money is an exchange of what human beings say it is. They took this money, American money, off the gold standard. Back when Nixon was president. And then the Federal Reserve became, because they could print money. The money today is backed up by nothing but the government's word. And, of course, the government can kill your ass. Look what happened to Muammar Gaddafi. Because the petrodollar and the currency of the world is pretty much the American dollar. Now, there are other stronger currencies, particularly the yen, because China is a major player economically. But still, the European currency, the euro. In fact, the euro is stronger than the American dollar. But these currencies have to maintain. So they didn't want Africa to come up with its currency, because if Africa united and had its own currency, anything that people wanted out of Africa, which of course has all of the resources that everybody wants, that they can't do it out and sure in hell don't want to pay for, they would have had to pay fair market value for that resource, whatever that was. And they don't want to do that. They want to get it at the way they want it. Evil people. So they drummed up this idea, and that's why I can't stand Barack Obama. I can't stand. I sure in hell can't stand the Clintons. And she was Secretary of State at the time. So they had these images of rioting in Libya. All of them false, because the Libyan people loved Muammar Gaddafi. These images, like he was ripping off the people were poor. No, the Libyan people loved Muammar Gaddafi because he used the wealth of Libya for the benefit of the people. And so America continued to put that out. Europeans, particularly British and French, the British and the French continued to put that out. And finally they made their move. And now many of us, because of our being tied to this country and tied to Europeans and to the European currency. So we were like, yeah, we can't let him mess with you can't mess with our money. Not understanding that if he could have been allowed through the strength of other African nations to do what they wanted to be done, would have benefited Africa tremendously. Africa would be a player in the world instead of the pawn that it is. Power. No real power for money. Power is education and information. No. No, it's not. Because if education and information is flawed and inaccurate, and it has, because they give you what they want to give you, there's no power in education and information. We need it. We need to be informed. There's no power in it. Powers in politics, voting, man, get out there and vote. You change the dynamics. You want things to happen for you? Man, the only way that happens for you is you go out there and vote. No. The political process, this two-party bull, the Republicans and the Democrats, one ignores you, one and takes advantage of you. No power for us. Power. So then what is power? As Dr. Wade Noble said, power is the ability to define reality. Power is the ability to define reality. And we, as African people, must shape reality in our image, in our interest, like others have. But not to impose it, because the second part of what Dr. Wade Noble said is power is the ability to define reality and then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. And that's what Europeans have done. They have stated this is the reality and then imposed that on others. This is the reality. This is the religious system. This is the imagery, the iconography. Power. I know they have that show that comes on, Power. Ghost. I didn't know that Ghost was dead. That brother's character was dead, you know. Because I don't watch it. But power. No. Power is the ability to define reality. It ain't money. It ain't that you to be the drug kingpin. It ain't that you are the Speaker of the House or the majority whip of the Senate. Oh, yeah, Mitch ugly-ass McConnell, touche turtle-looking son of a bitch. Yeah, he got plenty money. Senator out of Kentucky, one of the poorest states in this union, but he has amassed millions because he sells himself like a prostitute to the pharmaceutical companies, to the National Rifle Association and all the other entities, because he has the other ear of the Republican senators in the Senate. To me, his ass should be gone with Trump. For sure. Power, the ability to define reality. That's the part I like. And that's the part, because I don't want to impose our reality on anyone. But I want us to speak our special truths. I want us to understand who we are historically and culturally and live in that reality. Not that we dismiss everybody else, but we know who they are. But more importantly, we know who we are. And we are thankful and grateful for our ancestors and our elders and those African men and women who are warriors to bring into reality who we are. So, brothers and sisters, as we wind this down, and I prepare myself to make this run. So I hope that you will be able to join us Wednesday when we talk about the inside job that 9/11 is. And I think it's important to us to understand that. Because it is so in your face. And then to make you believe, to make you believe that this country was attacked by some people from outside. So you can use that as a pretense to go to war against them and take their stuff. Like they take, like when they went to war against and did what they did to Muammar Gaddafi and took his riches and took Iraq's riches. To the victor goes the spoils. And bring those countries, those two countries, into mass chaos. So, I tell you, it's a damn shame, ain't it? We got a caller, 404-453. Good morning.
Hey, my brother, how you be, Ocean?
I'm doing fine, Wes. But listen, you called me at the end. I'm only going to have an hour program. I'm about to sign off, man. I appreciate what you sent me. I appreciate that. I appreciate what you consistently are doing, Brother West. And I'm going to do that program on 9/11, so hopefully you'll join me on Wednesday, okay?
Yes, sir. I sure will, man. Stay strong, stay black, man.
You know it, brother. Peace to you. Thank you. So, yeah, power, the ability to define reality. We must shape our reality and fashion it in our image and in our interests as African people that love Africans, that think Africans, that do Africans, that be Africans, that share with Africans. So, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the European, the Caucasian, the oppressor, is the minds of the oppressed. Once again, brothers and sisters, we are at war for the minds of our people. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. That's what I'm saying, that we must be in control. We're not poor. Africa is not poor. The problem with Africa, it lacks the unity that is necessary to build Africa, to feed itself, to connect itself throughout the continent, to have its resources to benefit themselves. It is important that we as Africans understand this and work towards this. That's why there are many of us who are awakening to this reality globally, on the continent, and throughout the diaspora. And my contention is, if you don't want it, fine. You stay your ass where you are. And if you're on the continent and you don't want it, then you get your ass off. Because I don't want agent provocateurs. I don't want saboteurs. I don't want those who would dismantle or those who would do whatever they can to benefit Europeans or the Yorugu at our demise. I don't want that. I want us to do what is right. So brothers and sisters, Shimhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you on Wednesday. Once again, Wednesday we'll do that 9/11 program. So I'll see you on Wednesday. Peace, family.